May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to begin this morning by asking you to do something you might think rather strange. Don't panic, it's not too embarrassing. I invite you to become aware of your breath. Breathe in slowly, and then breathe out. We breathe in the cool air, and we breathe out the warm air. Our breathing in and out shows that we are alive. Let us give thanks for the breath of life that God has given us. Now, of course, most of the time, we don't think about our breathing. We just do it. The constant rhythm, breathing in and breathing out, is going on all the time without us even being aware of it. Well, I would like to suggest that that same rhythm, taking in and giving out, is an essential part of our Christian lives too. But perhaps that doesn't come necessarily quite as naturally as breathing. So we need to think a little bit more about it. We can see something about this rhythm of taking in and giving out in two of our Bible readings this morning. In our reading from Romans, the emphasis is on taking in all that God has done for us in Christ. Through his death and resurrection, we have peace with God and we stand in grace. In our gospel reading, Jesus sends his disciples out to share the good news of the kingdom with others. You have received without payment, give without payment, he tells them. Freely you have received, freely give. This rhythm of receiving God's grace and then sharing that grace in practical ways is an essential rhythm of our Christian lives. We receive and we give. We take in and we give out. But we always need to remember that anything we have to offer to others in word or deed, comes out of what we have first received. So let us look a little bit more closely at those two Bible readings this morning. In the passage from Romans, Paul emphasizes that all we have received through Christ. Earlier in his letter, Paul has spoken about the mess we as human beings make of ourselves and of our world. We cannot mend things ourselves, but God can change things through his grace, that undeserved free gift of his love. All we have to do is to receive that grace in faith, in trust. It's not the case that because we've done something good, pious, or generous, therefore God rewards us, but rather, despite our failures, nevertheless, God has acted in Christ and poured out his love upon us. Through faith in Christ, we have peace with God and we stand in his grace. We don't earn God's grace. It is freely given to us. And God's grace is seen supremely in Christ's death and resurrection. Paul says, "For while we were still weak, Christ died for the ungodly." It's rare for someone to die for another, but we might be able to imagine someone dying for a good person, he says. But God's grace works differently. Indeed, God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's grace is not just for the good and the deserving. Remember Jesus praying for his enemies on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." And his words to the penitent thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise." The message of Romans is that we cannot mend ourselves. We cannot make ourselves right with God or with other people. It's God who acts to change things. Through God's action in Christ, we are now reconciled to God. We stand in grace, and God's abundant love is poured out into our hearts. Can we really take this in? Perhaps sometimes we don't want to stand in this grace and receive this love. It hurts our pride to accept it. We want to think that God blesses us because we deserve it in some way. But God's grace is totally undeserved. It is a free gift. Can we humble ourselves enough to accept God's love and to breathe in God's grace day by day? Now, of course, breathing in this grace day by day, knowing we are reconciled to God, that we have peace with God through Christ, doesn't mean that we always feel peaceful and content, and we never face trouble or anxiety or suffering or weakness. Paul says some very strange words here. He says, we boast or we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Now, Paul is not saying that suffering is a good thing in itself, but that we can, through God's grace, learn and grow through suffering, and our trust in God can be deepened and strengthened through such times. And I think if we shared our experiences, many of us here would say that much of what we know of love, patience, courage and strength, compassion and hope in our own lives and in the lives of those close to us has been learnt through suffering. Suffering doesn't always happen, but it can lead to endurance, character and hope. Now, of course, there's always the danger then that we see these things as produced by ourselves. This strength, this hope is our own achievement. However, the endurance and hope that Paul is speaking about does not originate in ourselves. Hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that he has given us. We are back again to grace, that abundant, undeserved love poured into our hearts. God proves his love for us through the death of Christ, but that's not a love we just accept in our minds. God's love is poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. This love floods our whole being. This abundant love, this ongoing grace, is constantly poured out, and it is the basis of our hope, the hope of faith. Our hope is not in ourselves, in our own capacities, but in God's love in Christ. And we can trust this love even when we feel ourselves weak, anxious, and even hopeless in human terms. We're not called to make ourselves strong or to appear strong before others. We are called to trust God, to put ourselves in God's hands, and to stand in God's grace. So in the Christian life, grace always comes first. But sometimes, and actually perhaps very often, we are tempted to put things the other way around. We focus on all the things we feel we should do without remembering that grace is foundational to everything. We need to breathe in before we can breathe out. We live by grace. We need, as it were, to breathe in God's grace, not just once, but day by day and moment by moment. But equally, just as we can't keep breathing in and in and in air without breathing out, so the natural rhythm of our Christian lives is that we share the grace that we have received. We give out to others. If our reading from Romans this morning focuses on the inward movement as we take in God's grace, our reading from Matthew's Gospel focuses on the outward movement. Jesus sends out his disciples to share in his ministry of teaching and healing. Just as they have received freely, they are now to give freely. Now, these disciples hadn't got it all sorted out. They weren't perfect. They didn't know all the answers. Nevertheless, Jesus sends them out to share in his work in the world. And the same is true for us. As soon as we've begun to receive God's grace in our own lives, we are called to share that grace and live that grace out in practical ways. This is true from the beginning of our Christian lives. We don't need to wait till we think we've got everything sorted out. Jesus sends out his disciples to share in his ministry because he has compassion on the crowds. They are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So he tells his friends, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There are lots of people out there, Jesus is saying, who want to listen and respond to the good news, but they need someone to tell them. Now, we may feel that is just not true in our own day. People are not interested in hearing about Jesus. Often they are indifferent or even hostile. But we certainly know that there are many people in our world, many people we come across day by day, who are harassed and helpless, lost and confused, like sheep without a shepherd. I was talking the other day with someone about how many people today suffer from depression and mental illnesses of different kinds. The numbers have increased very, very sharply in recent times, especially among young people. We may also know people who are stressed and overwhelmed by pressures at work, those who are isolated, lonely, and afraid. People need God's grace as much as they ever did. But of course, what they need is more than a verbal message. As one writer puts it, Christianity is not a philosophy that can be learnt separate from those who embody it. We need to embody the message. We don't need to be expert evangelists, thank goodness. We only need to be able to share what God's grace means in our own lives. We all have a story to tell. A story we try and live out in practical ways in our daily lives. A story that points away from ourselves to the God who loves us. I was really struck recently in one of our online discussions by one of our new members of our church, a young man, a new member in our church, who said, put it very sharply like this, I am not the hero of my own life story. I am not the hero of my own life story. This is a very radical message in a society where we are urged to create our own identity and meaning, to prove ourselves by our own achievements. The story we have to tell is all about grace. It's all about grace. And it may include how grace has worked in our lives through suffering and difficulty, just as we heard in that reading from Romans. When we stand in God's grace, we pray that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, character produces hope. And this hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Can we live out this story of grace and hope in our own daily lives? As the scholar Tom Wright puts it, those who believe in Jesus the Messiah are called to model communities, families, and personal lives in which the sequence of faith, peace, suffering, character, and hope is lived out, sustained by the Holy Spirit's work, enabling us to know God's love and to love God in return. Everyone here in this church this morning is breathing. Breathing in and out. We breathe in and out every moment. May we live that rhythm in our Christian lives too, so that we share with others the grace we have received. Thanks be to God for the breath of life he has given us and for the abundance of his grace. Amen.